What's good, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's good, everybody? Your host, Maul Bruising Boxing. Want to welcome y'all to the Fade Hour tonight. We got some interesting topics, but before we even dive into that, let me kick it around the room for my comrades. They can go ahead and introduce themselves, you know, like we normally do. Before we even get to that, I'm drinking a coffee stout, about 13%. So, you know how I'm going to be feeling about midway to the end of the show. So, yeah, without further ado, let me go ahead and pass it around the room.
What up, world? It's your boy, News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Hey, so today I got some, I don't even know. I actually picked this up last night. It looked like an OG Kush to Mixes, the way that it's shaped. So, but I'm feeling good. So let's get to it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke at Free Smoke Boxing. I got some animal cookies for tonight. So let's get to it.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorp, the New England representative. And I'm chilling right now. You know, with my glass of Merlot, as always, man, you know, because the wine today keeps the doctor away, you dig? All right, let's get to it.
Yeah, man, tonight we're going to, the main event topic, we're going to cover Tank's fight against Hugo Ruiz. It's supposed to have been Abner Mares, but he had to pull out for an eye injury. We'll also be covering Jose Ramirez and Jose Zapata, and also covering the state of 140. But let's start with the undercard kind of topic, the undercard fight. We got Erickson Lubin. He's returning against Ish Smith. And I just wanted to kick it around the room and see how y'all feel about this fight. How y'all feel about this fight. Ishay?
Yeah.
Ishay Smith.
Whatever. But yeah, I just wanted to see how y'all feel this fight can go. Is this something Lubin could possibly lose? Or do y'all expect him to go ahead and run through him and continue his rebuild up to a championship fight?
Man, I'm gonna be honest with you, the last time we saw Ishay fight, he, at least the last time that I can remember, he gave J-Rock some hell. So I could see him putting a little bit of work into Lubin at the beginning, and then Lubin taking over and knocking him out 8 rounds something.
In my case, like I said, Ishay, I mean, he's tough, though. I mean, he's 40 years old. He's been, you know, he's been in the ring with a lot of, you know, a lot of top guys. I mean, he's not an easy man to stop. I mean, the closest he's come to being stopped is, of course, from Veins. You know, he's so close to actually stop him. Lubin, I think, has made it a goal to actually try to knock Ishay out, to be the first one. Now, I do think that Lubin will beat Ishay. That's not, I think it'll be a decision of some sort, but I don't think, I mean, but knocking him out, of course, will probably put a statement in there, and I don't think he can do it. I think he's just a little bit too crafty for that.
Hey, Pat, let me ask you, the Ishay Smith that fought Tony Harrison, would that be enough to possibly beat Lubin?
Quite possibly. Well, I mean, Tony Harrison in that fight had his little stamina problems and this whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would think the one that gave J-Rock hell could probably give Lubin hell. Because, you know, as far as we know, I mean, Ishay is not a, you know, not like a powerful puncher. I mean, he doesn't really turn over on his punches. He kind of slaps a little bit. But we don't know what type of chin that Lubin is going to have post-Charlo knockout. So, now, if that happens, then Lubin probably needs to go back to the drawing board. If I see Ishay Smith knock this nigga out.
He knock him out. I don't know.
I mean, Lubin will be in trouble if Ishay knocks this motherfucker out.
Man, Lubin will be in trouble if this fight is even, like,
mildly
decision territory, because the simple fact, shout out to Ishay Smith. You know, he showed love to Ringside Rave. Mm-hmm. On IG, but more importantly, shout out to Ishay Smith, because Ishay Smith is a champion, former world champion. Erickson Lubin ain't beat Ishay Smith yet. So, I mean, as heavy as I was on Erickson Lubin, the fact that he did lose that fight to Jermell Charlo is still alarming and shocking, and he still hasn't beat anybody that's, I would say, would beat Ishay Smith if they fought him. So. So this fight actually is going to be a fight that's going to show more about Lubin, and if Erickson Lubin is who I thought he was, prior to the Jermell Charlo fork in the road, then he should be able to soundly defeat Ishae Smith. I'm not going to say by knockout, because nobody knocks out Ishae Smith. Ishae Smith is too good defensively for that. But if he's to be who they said he was, who I thought he was, and who he's believed to have to be, you know, I was actually running around calling him the Phenom, Erickson right. Lubin. You know, he was out there dominating everything. I watched him the first fight when I was watching him on Friday Night Fights, and they were talking about how he skipped prom to fight. I remember watching that fight on ESPN, and it's like, you at this point in your career, it's real early, but a fight against somebody like an Ishae Smith is definitely a dangerous fight for somebody, because Ishae Smith, you know, in basketball how they say, you know, the veterans know the dirty tactics and the dirty tricks and stuff like that. That's Ishae Smith at this point of his career. He can definitely spoil Erickson Lubin. So I'm picking Lubin to win. I'm expecting Lubin to win. Like, you know, it should be competitive, but not that competitive if Erickson Lubin is, like I said, who he's supposed to be. It should be an Erickson Lubin clear victory over a fading veteran. Is what I'm expecting to see. But anything close, like I said, if it's looking competitive, if it's looking like Ishae Smith might have won this fight, that's extreme red flags on Erickson Lubin. Because mm-hmm. Ishae Smith is way past his best. And a way past his best, Ishae Smith shouldn't be able to compete with somebody who was looked at as a young blue chip prospect just like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, right. I mean, real quick, I saw Erickson Lubin fight, I think it was on the Andre Fanfara Joe Smith Jr. undercard in 2016. And news actually had put me on to Lubin. And he looked really good up until he fought, obviously, Charlo. So I think it was that he got rushing for the Charlo match too quick. I think he'll be well prepared against Ishae Smith, and he'll have mm-hmm. a fine showing. But hopefully that puts him on the road to, you know, getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah, he went to Charlo fight with only like 70 total rounds in his career, man. Yeah.
But the thing is, he won the fight before he won a title limiter, so that's why he got that title from Charlo.
Right. That's true.
I mean, he lasted like 70 total seconds, so it kind of hurt up.
Yeah, but he earned it. I like his confidence.
No disrespect.
He was just a little overconfident. You know, that youthful confidence that he had, and just the way that he had came up and everything, it just seemed like he would win the fight, and
I bought right into it.
Reality struck, like, it's just a little too fast. Like, you know, you skipped the level. You know, you got to go back and just redo that level. Yeah, you just got to go back and redo that one. Like, Ishae Smith is really a fight that he should have had before Jermell Charlo. Yep, if you think about it, you know, something like that before getting to Jermell Charlo. You don't just go from, I don't even know who he fought before fighting Jermell Charlo, but you don't go from anybody.
Coda dude, yeah.
Right. You don't go from that to a Jermell Charlo. So, and we see what happened. It was exactly like Jermell Charlo, but not to harp on that, because like I said, that was back then. Lubin was what, like 18, 19?
At new training
camp. Kevin Cunningham in the training camp now, sparring with high quality opponents. Like, you older, wiser, you could put that behind humble. You. And like I said, yeah, you should be humbled, you know, and we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see him return to the ring. Hopefully he can get back in his bag, and we can see Lubin doing something at 154 in the upcoming future.
But yeah, man, shoot, just moving right along. You know, we're going to go ahead and transition to the co-main event of the Fade Hour tonight. Jose Ramirez, Jose Zapata. Sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. Probably is not going to matter much by the end of the night in my prediction. But definitely want to get y'all a prediction and just overall thoughts on Jose Ramirez, since, you know, everybody's kind of pegging him as one of the rising up-and-comers.
Well, I know. I mean, Jose Zapata was, I believe, a replacement. Jose Zapata is a live dog. I like this fight because Jose Zapata is, I mean, is dangerous. I mean, his only loss was because he dislocated his shoulder in the second round. You know, you can't really fight after that. But Zapata is a live dog for Ramirez. So, I would like for Zapata to take the belt from Ramirez, you know, and, but, we'll get to see if Ramirez is actually taking it to a next level. But I wouldn't be surprised if Zapata, you know, beats him.
Yeah, Zapata only has one loss, and that was against Terry Flanagan way back 4 years ago. So yeah, you're right in your assessment.
I'd be extremely surprised if Jose Ramirez lost to Jose Zapata, not just because of Jose Zapata, but because of how they're pushing Jose Ramirez, and because of Jose Ramirez, how he talks about himself in relevance to other 140 opponents, especially someone like a Regis. So I'm not expecting to see him lose this at all. If he loses this fight, then I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say because I'm trying to see him versus Regis. This fight is, like you said, this is a Jose Zapata stepping up. The fight is definitely a live dog, but at the end of the day, I can't let live dogs get in the way of the fight that should have already happened. I need Regis Progress versus Jose Ramirez. I need it next. So I'm picking Jose Ramirez by split decision by UD. And that's that. That's all I got for that fight.
I mean, I don't even have like a negative or positive rating for Jose Zapata, but I think that Jose Ramirez should take care of him fairly easily. The thought of him losing to Zapata, I mean, like New said, it just doesn't even correlate in your mind. Jose Ramirez comes into fights pretty heavy for a 140 pounder, and despite the fact that he always puts his weight over his front foot, he has a lot of good punching power, and it seems like he has a decent chin. So I would be stunned if he lost.
I'm not. Zapata is 31 with 25 knockouts. He has a higher KO percentage than Ramirez. That's why I'm saying he's a live dog on paper.
I mean,
knocked out? Who's he knocked out?
I'm not a person who get enamored by just the KOs, as y'all know, especially when you haven't really beat anybody. But I can say like Jose Ramirez is on that type of level. So, I mean, he may be able to come in and do something, but he's still the smaller man too, isn't? Looking at him, Jose Ramirez is bigger than him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I don't know anything about Zapata to say what he can do, can't do. But all I know is, as being a replacement opponent, and knowing what Top Rank has in store for Jose Ramirez and how they've been talking about him, I'd be shocked if he lost to a Jose Zapata or Zapata.
Continue with 140. Shot wins a loss, this, that, and the third. What the hell is going on with the WBS? What the hell is going on with the
point blank, man? It's money or something like that. I think they have Berenchik trying to pull out because basically he's asking for his, because he got paid from his title win and the bonus win. And then he's basically asking in order for him to fight to put the money in escrow, so which means the money will be waiting for him, and they didn't want to do that, so
they're getting that Fright Festival treatment.
So basically, the tournament. So and then of course the Sutherland brothers, they have that ironclad, like, if you do that, we're gonna sue you. We're gonna sue you stupid, for bailing out without any good reason. So, and that's part of the reason why they announced that fight like ASAP, because we were just
right.
I was waiting for that second batch of fights to be announced. But it's disheartening to see, because as most people know, I'm a fan of those tournaments, especially the 140. When the 140 tournament, I thought, we'll get two or three, depending, how the Ramirez belt situation goes about, unified. And in the 140, and then the 140 fights are coming up, with Taylor and Berenchik, and then Progray and Relic, those are good fights, and it'd be a shame for those to not happen because the tournament, starts to fall apart. So,
go
ahead, Smoke.
They really need to put their foot back on the gas in terms of the tournament. I mean, I don't know what the date of the last fight was, but it seems like hella long ago.
It was like damn near before football season started, it felt like, when it started. I mean, the second season.
Yeah, because the first season ran a little because this was a super middle. So yeah, I think it started. I think it was in October. I think it started the first batch of.
Right, right. Yeah. You're right. You're correct.
Yo, 7 month breaks. We off that.
Yeah. And that's why Barinchek is getting a little aggravated because you know he sees the money that these you know people are making right now and he's a champion, so that's why he wants to, and he's you know and I guess they're not really meeting his money demands in there, you know for whatever reason. So I guess that's why he's like you know bump this. I want to take the title. Now, I bet you anything if he wasn't a champion, they probably would let him out of the tournament. But the whole appeal of this tournament is to unify the belts. So him right. leaving with the belt kind of takes some of the edge off the tournament. And that only leaves Bella as the only champion left if he goes. So it's just starting like because 140 looks like it was starting to straighten itself out, and then you know you get all this shit.
Yeah, because I do want to see what's going to happen with Maurice. Hooker too, because remember he's still at 140.
Oh yeah,
and his last fight was a right. No. So yeah, I mean this division probably never gonna get unified, but like it is, it can have some dope ass fades if they just all decide to fight each other.
Man, all I know is at this rate, they're gonna be nobodies doing this. You can't have a tournament where the guys are already not too popular. And then the tournament is broken up. Like, you got to, like Smoke said, you got to keep hitting like that in order for the people. Like, Maurice Hooker, when he won that fight, he, you know, that was probably the most publicity he had received in the last couple of years, right? And then all of his momentum from that is, like, stalled.
Right.
You know, like, you got to build that all up. So I would hate to see that continue to happen. So we do need those fights to get everything to get back going. And I'm going to see Josh Taylor back in the ring.
Yeah.
I want to see Regis back in the ring. Like, I'm ready to see these guys. We're ready to get this back going and build some stars out here because that's what we need at 140, because 147 is going to need some new opponents, surely.
Right. Because, so, you know, yeah, because Regis, in my opinion, like, he probably will outgrow 140.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Josh Taylor.
For right. sure.
Definitely.
Hopefully they throw hands with each other before that.
Hell right. yeah.
In the tournament. That's what we need. Yeah. They're both in the tournament.
Yeah, we need that. So, man, I'm just hoping that whatever's going on with the WBSS, you know, the zone throws them a couple million or whatever so get these motherfuckers paid so they can get in the ring and fight and finish up this damn tournament. Because I want to see FaZe. I want to see a unified champion of some sort in this goddamn tournament.
But shit, yeah, speaking of fades, transition into the main event, we all I just want to know, do we all expect to see one this Saturday with Tank?
Hell yeah. This motherfucker, yeah, Tank is facing another fucking featherweight. Like, it's bad enough that originally he's facing a fading featherweight with eye problems, but now it's like they couldn't, like PBC could not fight him a 130 fight. I mean, they couldn't get Fortuna to drop his fight, his struggle fight that he's fighting, and, you know, get him at least in the ring. I mean, at least he's a legit 130 pounder or something like that. But no, he got to go after the guy who just fought not even like, barely like a month ago or so on the Pacquiao Broner card. You know, I expect Tank to take him apart, you know, brutally. You know, if he doesn't, shame on Tank.
Yeah, I mean, hey, remember Tank earlier this, I think it was the other day or something, somebody was talking about Tank pulling people up, and he threw kind of a shot at Loma about the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you thought he was justified, well, not justified, but how you feel about that too, man? I mean, because he's right in a sense, but hey.
I mean, so we went through the whole free Tank movement, and what we got out of it was the Abner Mares fight. It turned into a Hugo Riaz or Ramirez or whatever fight, Riaz or whatever. Hopefully, after he knocks this dude out, they'll let him try and unify at 130. I mean, because I fully believe that Tank wants to throw hands with them real dudes, but I don't know.
It's just not happening. It's just, I mean, it seems to always be a hookup, a hiccup when it comes to him, man.
When I heard the oh, this is you know, it's all Floyd's stuff, at first I was like, nah, you know, I don't know. his homie went and sold his, you know, furniture for a C-class and was sleeping on an air mattress. And I ain't, well, I am kind of dissing that, but it's like 4 or 5 years later and Tank's had titles. He's lost titles on the scales. He's had fights against legit opponents, but it's like Floyd don't want him to take the next step.
And I'm going to say this. For me, all I can say is Marez had to be replaced, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. 2.5 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. So it's not even about getting a replacement opponent. It's more like finding a replacement opponent, because who really wants to fight Tank on 2.5 weeks notice, though, either?
Nobody.
You know, so I think that that also would have something to do with the caliber of opponent that you can get. That's right, because, right. I mean, you have to be prepared for Tank. You can't just be half stepping all that, because you're waiting for a fight and then they say, well, we can give you Tank, but you got to fight him next week. It's like, what?
Yeah, people going to fall sick at it. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that probably play a little part, but I do think as far as the next opposition, though, and I'm not going to really blame Tank. I can't blame Tank. He's already been fight. We thought it was Abner Morris the whole time, so. But the next fight, mm-hmm. I would like to see a better opponent than Abner Morris. Like, yeah. I need to see a better opponent at 130, and there are a lot of opponents. I'm sorry. There are a lot of better opponents that he can fight, and I like to see him in against those guys, because
I want to see him test himself.
Right. We see it. Mm-hmm. Pedraza was supposed to be a test. But I mean, he got Pedraza up out of there, so unfortunately that wasn't really a test, but we need to see him we'll get somebody else then. And that's Tevin Farmer, man.
Tevin Farmer, right.
Yeah,
right.
That's the only fight that I want to see for Tank. 130.
I mean, the amount of shit that those guys talk or, you know, yap their gums about each other, you would think that they'd be begging to fight each other.
Yeah, then watch it be Jamal Herring next he fight. No disrespect. I'm just saying.
No that's disrespect. How the shit be. Jamal
right.
Herring,
you know what I'm saying? This Jamal is how the shit
cool
gonna,
cat.
Right, but that's just how the shit's going to work itself out, I bet, man.
The thing is, the 130's had a history. Like, it's probably the one division that has a history of not unifying. Like, even fucking welterweight has like unifications every once in a while. 130 has only had like one unification in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, they have probably the bloodiest fights I've seen in the last 20 years, but no one unifies in that division.
Because it's like a stepping stone division, if you think about it. I mean, because it's right in between two legendary weight classes, featherweight and lightweight. Right. You know what I mean? So, and it's only 4 pounds from featherweight. So it's like you just had one big meal. Damn, I'm a junior lightweight this fight.
Yeah,
and you get back down to featherweight.
Like, yeah, usually, like I said, people usually leave 130 because, like I said, because 130, because when fades happen in there, and you don't, and they don't like, oh man, I can't be out there again, you know, getting faded up in there. I mean, I gotta go where the money is.
Right.
You know? And they usually they escape 130 ASAP. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They go 135 or 140 even. But yeah, 130 right now, I mean, has talent. Like, the champions there, you know, they have, you know, Farmer, they have Rochelle, you know, they have Ito, they have, and of course, Davis himself. They have Roman, they have Vargas, they have a whole bunch of
young
people.
Garcia, right? I mean, yeah, they have a whole bunch of shit.
They have a whole bunch of fighters in there, man. Like, Tank should be in the mix with this, but starting with Farmer too, because them niggas are talking shit, and I want to see that shit settled in the goddamn ring.
they've been talking too much cash shit not to fight, man.
Exactly.
I mean, they've been talking cash shit to each other for a hot.
Right, and in person at that.
I mean, so here's the thing. I mean, just kind of a little branch off of that. If you're a fighter, and I don't know this because I'm not a professional boxer or anything like that, but how much could you deal with someone talking cash shit to you in your face? Like, yo, when we get it on, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you. Because for me as a person, just knowing how to box and all that, I'd say about 3 to 4 minutes is about how long it would take.
Yeah. And then definitely with your crew around, because, you know, your crew gonna be gassing on, you know what I'm saying? Everybody gonna be gassing it up, so...
But unfortunately, the boxing politics rears its head because they're on two different platforms. You know, Tank with PBC and Farmer with DAZN. You know, and it's just like, now I think that's the problem of thing. Like when you start talking about, oh yeah, fight me on the zone, no, fight me on PBC. And that's when that's when you start getting into the you say Joel thing type of nonsense. And it's like, you know, then it's just like wash, rinse, repeat. And that's and that's stupid. So it's like them niggas need to make up their minds, like, okay, we're gonna fight on this network, man. And we're gonna get this, you know, it's gonna be split up like this, and we're gonna fight. When the winner will get the lion's share, some shit like that. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, but it will never happen. Never happened because these guys, I mean, they hungry.
They on a
I mean, it sounds simple. It sounds very simple, right. But it's exactly what it is. A lot of these guys are hungry until they start to eat. and pretty much
that's the point, bro.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and what I mean by that is I don't see the same eagerness, the same hunger from Tevin Farmer to get in the ring from Tank like he was before he got that belt.
You put a few mil in somebody's hand, bro.
I'm eating a little bit. I don't need that plate as much as I did when I was starving. Now I'm eating. I'm with Uncle Eddie. I'm getting my, you know, I'm eating now. I'm looking good. I'm driving better. I'm doing more in life. You know, I don't need to fight Tank. I want to fight Tank. I don't need to fight Tank no more.
You know, maybe like Farmer went from sleeping in today. You know what I'm saying? That's how right.
I mean, Tevin Farmer got shot in the hand, and now he's got security.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, hey, he basically started from the bottom. Now I'm here, and I can basically see somebody that we seen in the limelight go through the grind of I want to fight. Nobody give him that shot. Now he's up. Yeah, I don't think he's willing to risk that. I don't think that Tevin Farmer is willing to risk losing the Tevin Tank just yet, because you lose that fight, that belt goes, and everything else goes. You got to start back from the bottom.
Those 8 Uncle Eddie, you know, 6-figure paydays a year go away.
Right. You're right. They go away. He's eating right now. So, like I said, it's not saying that he's ducking Tank, because I seriously doubt that Tevin Farmer. Yeah, right. Because I seen Tevin Farmer, when you ain't got nothing, that's when your reel come out. Tevin Farmer wants Tank. It's just now he no longer needs Tank. Like I said, it's simple, but it's plain.
This time last year, you're no longer as hungry. Thank you. This time last year was like, yeah, he needed him. But now it's like fuck it. I ain't got to chase you. If it happened, he got one of them. If it happened, it happened.
I'm still eating now anyway, so it don't matter. I'm good now. I needed you last year. I needed that payday, and I wanted that title. Now, I still want that title, but I don't need the payday as much. You know, I'm still, you know, I'm getting good meals. You may cook good meals for me, but look, I'm still eating good over here.
Everybody was like, well, last year, you know, when Floyd was like wanting to make the Loma fight, you was on your feelings. And then now Tank wants you. You ain't getting in with Tank. So it's like they fight people. So what the hell you doing? Look who you fighting. So it's just like, at some point, you know, like you said, it all goes. What I'm trying to get to is what all goes back to what News saying, that Tank got to get in there with somebody.
He got to get somebody.
I know that this wasn't his doing. What Mara's, you know, with the eye situation, that wasn't his doing. Can't fault that. But even then,
I think was divine intervention on both ends. Yeah. For Mara, it pretty much it'll preserve himself, so not have his career ended in that fashion.
Yep, because that's what was gonna happen. I didn't want to say it, but I was gonna say it on this episode.
What was gonna happen? What would have been y'all prediction had this fight went through?
Mars would have gotten pummeled, basically.
Brutal knockout.
Yeah.
Tank by school bathroom beating on Abner Morris. Because that's what Abner Morris talked himself into from Tank. He talked real crazy to Tank leading up to the fight. Mm-hmm. And Tank was ready. As you seen, he was already in shape, all that stuff. Yeah. And then this happened. So it's like you said, that intervention, because Tank was not coming out there to play with Abner Morris at all.
About to give him the fucking beats out there.
Get the beating that you get in the swim when you meet that, you see that dude. I was talking all that trash. Now we in the school bathroom. Ain't nobody in here now. That's what Mars was about to get.
And they're looking at the door like, help. You know.
Right, you know, hey, if Mars disagree with me, I mean, he's allowed to, you know, but you was gonna have to get in that ring with Tang, but
yeah, exactly. I mean, it was good that fight didn't happen because, like I said, I didn't want to see because, I mean, it was just a mismatch from the time it was announced. I didn't want to see it, and it was, you know, it was like the boxing gods heard my prayers and divine intervention rained down and righted that wrong. So I was all for that, you know, and obviously I hope Mara's, you know, does, you know, get, you know, his eye does heal and probably shouldn't even fight anymore because that's, he has detached retinas in both eyes. That's, you know, that's a no-no. You should really fight mm-hmm. that. But Mexicans gonna do what Mexicans gonna do. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Fight to the end.
I mean, nah, he Warriors. Needs to hang it up. Detached retina and you're trying to get punched in the face. No.
All I see is peace just crept in the side door.
Yeah, way too late. I know. I'm
damn, there. He was there.
I was held up to them. So
peace just crept in the window.
Yeah. It's all good. What up, y'all? This is your boy Peace. We're up for Ringside Rave and Bodega Boxing. As for my
he got shot.
As my thoughts on the card, you know, I'm just happy to see Hammerhead, you know, back and, you know, saying it's just a get back for him. So, you know, saying he's got to now make his way up. So this is a good, you know, good way to make your way back up. Roll over Ishe Smith because Lord knows everybody's had a piece of Ishe Smith. Same.
Pause.
But I'm just happy to see him get back. And as for Ramirez, I'm tired talking about Ramirez. Like, I'm until we see him against Progray, I don't want to even hear it. Like, unless you're gonna fight somebody else formidable, whatever. But we want Progray, and I'm not gonna accept this bullshit. Like. And as for, I mean, I can't be mad at Tank because it's not his fault, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, Mahrez pulled out. What I'm hearing it's his eye, right? His eye. His
retina.
Yeah. Because at first I thought, like, they said somebody hit his elbow and then, like, his eye. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with him? But this is eye. That's a serious thing. So, and he's had eye trouble in the past before. I remember he was supposed to fight. He was supposed to fight. What's his name? And the fight and get called off because of his eye. So, like, he's had multiple issues with it. So, I hope Abu Nimar is okay. But, you know what I'm saying? Best of luck to him in his recovery. But, unfortunately, now we got to fucking see this fight. Hopefully,
let me ask you the question because I posed the question to everybody else. Had the fight with Mahrez went ahead, how would you have predicted it?
Oh, Mahrez would have gotten knocked out. No doubt about it. He would have been Gonzalez all over again. Probably as quick as Gonzalez got him out of there, I could have seen Tank got him out.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
No disrespect to Mahrez, but I'm just saying Tank's on another level. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. I'm tired of seeing, unfortunately, didn't this guy come up from what? Like super bantamweight or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, why are we having to have to see Tank get fight these drag these guys that they drag up from the lower division? Like, come on. Let him fight somebody his size. Like,
we was talking, you missed it, but we was talking, I don't know if you caught the end of it, the tail end of it, but we was talking about, once again, him and Tevin Farmer. It was like, why is that, why hasn't that happened?
Farmer has a fight, already has, it signed up mm-hmm. for a fight, so I'm not going to even, you know, say, oh, well, that shit happened, because they already had these fights signed up, and then just this last minute thing happened, so it is what it is. But we need to see that fight in the future. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, I could see this thing of, well, network issues. Who's going to fight where? Who with who? Eddie Hearn? Al Heyman? You know how that goes, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody's going to have to sacrifice their guy to the other network. And right now, with these guys just building up, they're not going to want to do that.
So yeah, PBC definitely not going to do that.
Unfortunately, it's not feasible right now. I'm kind of just thinking that we're probably not going to see that fight just because of for reasons like that. Not at least not this year. While both brands are trying to build up in their first year of, you know, their new deal. You know what I'm saying? This is DAZN's first full year, isn't it? This first, because it started late last year, right? Like, they need a full year, right? So they need it. They're not going to sacrifice one of their guys. So they're going to have their guys fight, their own guys fight at DAZN. PBC is going to have their own guys fight on PBC. We're not going to see any cross promotion for a while. So I'm not even going to hold my breath.
Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Cause that's pretty much exactly what I said. About Farmer and Tank too as well, and then everything like that.
My thing is, if you guys aren't gonna fight, fucking stop creeping on each other's social media,
right?
Because at this point it makes no sense and it's annoying. At first it was entertaining, but now I'm like I seen Kevin Farmer just creep on his page and like talk shit, and I'm like, bruh, if this isn't gonna lead to anything, like, the fuck y'all continue? Like, don't y'all motherfuckers get tired of this shit? Like, I be feeling like Steel is Duke. Don't you get tired of this shit? Like, so it's just pointless, and it's not building up to anything. So that's the only thing. So it is what it is.
And it is what it is, y'all. That is it. For the fade out, I'm gonna let my man News do what he do normally, and that's close out the show.
Yes, sir, man. Once again, it's your boy News representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. I'd like to thank each one of my fellas for joining us, and we made another glorious episode of the Fade Hour. And we'll see y'all next week. So we out of here.
All right.
Peace, y'all.